You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
In the gritty and difficult places of the world, God calls His people to be salt and light to the broken and the needy. That's what the front line is all about. Open your heart and your mind. Today's show is about to begin. And good morning. Yes, the show has begun. And my headphones just went out.
Your headphones just
they're back now.
Okay.
Yeah, if you don't, there's a thing.
Did you go out with them, or did they go by themselves?
They went by themselves, and I had to catch up. You know, it's the thing is, I've learned a lot in radio production. One is that you have to push, when you have to push something in to make it work, you have to push all the way. You can't be relaxed, you can't be wimpy about it, you've got to go all the way.
Kind of like your conviction.
Yeah, kind of like your convictions, like what being a Christian's all about.
Amen.
Our guest, we're going to be talking about just that very thing in terms of her ministry. But first, I must introduce, and this is a rule that has been passed down to me from the throne room itself, that I must introduce my co-hosts here on the front line, starting with the most venerable.
Oh, my God.
Ed Skiba.
That just means I'm older than everybody. Yeah. Another Ed. Beautiful South Florida morning.
Amen.
It's a little bit cool. It's rainy. And I love it. It's really a good break from all the heat we've had.
We've had cooler fall and winter.
Well, this is 100% humidity now.
It is. Yes, it is. That's what they call rain.
But we don't have to shovel it.
Well, we don't.
It's okay.
Yeah, sadly, some people in the northern tier of our nation are having to do just that.
Mm.
Snow and ice. It's very dangerous.
Yeah.
But before we're not really going to go into the weather as much as I'm going to go and welcome Ann Limhoco.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in
Amen.
It. And today
Amen.
Is an important day.
Today is an important day.
What's happening today?
The inauguration.
The inauguration.
That's our guest. He's going to be speaking a little about that later, but yeah.
Number 47.
Yep.
He was 45, now he's 47.
Yep.
And as long as you're going up, that's good.
But, you know, we're all excited about that.
Yeah.
And we have supported him are, but we've got to remember there are people out in our audience that have a different perspective on
right.
it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I know a lot of Christians that are not comfortable with that, and I would like to let them know that we are your brothers and sisters. We are not going to abandon you.
No.
We're not going anywhere. God's not going to abandon you. We just have to trust Him completely that things will work out fine.
And we, you know, realize Christian folk, look, talking to the body of Christ here, some who are ecstatic about what's happening today in Washington, some that are on the other end of that spectrum. But let's all remember that when you go to the Word of God makes it clear that God raises up kings, leaders, and then He brings them down.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
And God is in charge of doing both of those things. During the last administration, we all had, most of the people I know had struggles, all the believing Christians, struggles going on in politics and the government, not just the overreach part of government, but the lawfare stuff that was going on. And yet, through all of that, I have prayed and will continue to pray for the leader, for Biden, his vice president, his cabinet, because we are called to pray for those
hour.
In government.
Absolutely.
And so
one
we want
hour,
to say then. This. You know, we want to say it's important because, number one, if you're up jumping up and down for joy because of who's being inaugurated today, that's great. You know, I'll get my exercise that way too.
Yeah.
But let's also be compassionate toward those that are on the other end of the spectrum we are and lift them up and be willing to, if they come into our sphere of influence, be willing to listen to them with God's heart. And to pray for them if they're willing to receive it, or at least pray for them, you know, after that encounter. But do not let prejudice command our hearts.
Amen.
Let the rule of God and his peace command our hearts.
Amen.
Having said that, Amy Pritchett, welcome.
Amen.
Yay.
Welcome.
Good morning, and it is happy Inauguration Day.
It is, for sure. We're all with you on that. And
you know, this wasn't planned, because when we asked Amy to be on the show, this date was available, and then she came up to me, maybe a week or 2 weeks ago. She goes, "Ann, it's the day of the inauguration." So look how the Holy Spirit worked it out.
Well, you know,
she is a Martin County School Board member. She will talk about politics.
And she's a Christian that God has called into the political realm. And we'll hear from her about that as God leads. And we said before we started, I was talking with Amy and with the crew here, and that really God's going to run this program. So with that in mind, because I'm trusting God, I know we all are, Amy, and I know you're a big God truster because of what he's caused you to do. You know, you're kind of on the front lines. In fact, where you are, the front line is being defined a lot in your political realm. So, Amy, just to share with us, we have a break that's not looming right now, so we have some minutes for you, Amy. Share what's on your heart. I know, really.
There's no looming today.
There's no looming today.
This is a no looming zone.
No,
it's
looming.
On loom.
We love weavers, but we're not weaving today.
No. Well, I think my message is courage.
Mm.
That word has been in my heart and on my mind for many months now, but I didn't realize how important it was. And I will weave it in to the election a little bit, because our 47th president has shown more courage than I think most people that I've ever come across in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And on a small scale, I feel he's putting himself out there. We should be putting ourselves out there too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And to not pull back, mm-hmm. and to listen to the call. And when you are seeing an unrighteous or something that isn't right,
mm-hmm.
and you want to speak about it, you should be able to speak about it.
Yes.
Amen.
Without being suppressed, without mm-hmm. being told that's not your place.
Mm-hmm.
I've been told that so many times over my lifetime, and more so in the last few years, that stay in your lane.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. my lane is my lane.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I don't let other people define my lane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I won't ever cross over and try to tell somebody else what their lane is.
Mm-hmm.
I'm respectful of that.
Yeah.
And when courage is your mantra, as I feel mine is at this point in time, we see a lot of things that we don't like. Yep. We see a lot of things that we can't believe. And we talk to people, and you take in what they're saying, and you walk away, and you say, seriously?
Mm-hmm.
It's truly amazing to me, mm-hmm. when you talk to someone who doesn't feel that our children need to be protected.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's a big job where you are.
All lies from the enemy.
It's a big job on the school board.
Yeah.
You know, I've had people say, well, you're not a parent. Well, yeah, I am. I raised two children and I have two grandchildren.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you don't have any parents in the school. Well, God loves all his children.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Amen.
He doesn't say, okay, you're from there, so you have to do it over there, or you're not equipped anymore because you don't have kids in school.
Mm-hmm.
I think I bring a fresh perspective without any agenda.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's
my
a good
main
way to
concern is educating our children. We're budget and policy.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the mm-hmm. school board members are tasked
Amen.
With.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
But that budget spends money on curriculum, and that budget spends money on safety,
mm-hmm.
and that budget spends money on teachers
mm-hmm.
and staff and support staff. So if we're not using those dollars wisely, we're not doing the children any good.
Absolutely.
Or our taxpayers as well.
Exactly.
Right,
mm-hmm. Exactly. The taxpayers. And we have to answer to them.
Mm-hmm.
And hey, we all get criticized.
Yeah.
And I can accept that. people will say, oh, you didn't know what you signed up for. I know exactly what I signed up for, and I have no fear.
Right.
Praise God.
So Amen. That's why the courage is that the courage keeps me grounded, and when the fear comes, the courage takes over. So
Amen.
In my world and what I'm doing, I tell people all the time, if we didn't have the children, we wouldn't have schools.
Mm-hmm.
So everything should be focused on the students first.
Yeah. Amen.
If they are being taken care of properly, everything else falls into place. But if they're not, we have a lot of work to do. Yeah.
That seems so common sense, but it's gotten so twisted, right, Amy?
It has gotten twisted because everyone has their own opinion of who needs what and who needs to be taken care of. The teachers are instrumental because they are educating our children. But if we don't have teachers who are totally committed to what the education should be, we're lost.
Yeah.
So,
well, your job has become more complicated because today's society has generated so many more minority groups. Oh, I believe this. Oh, I believe that. Oh, I'm this. Oh, I'm that. And you try to accommodate every one of them and give them the provisions they need. But to some point, you can't have minority rule.
No.
You've got to look for the majority. You've got to look for the overall population.
All children deserve a good, solid, quality public education.
Absolutely.
How they get that education is determined by how we present it to them. When we're not giving them what they want, they do go elsewhere. And one of the biggest things that I'm accused of, along with some of my other board members, is that we're trying to destroy public education. Well, I will tell you that if we have a quality product, nobody's going to go anywhere else. But until we until the parents are satisfied that what we're bringing them is what their child needs, they have every right to seek it somewhere else.
Yeah.
So school choice is here to stay.
Absolutely.
Yes.
I want the public school to be so good that parents will say, well, there really is no other choice. But I can't do that by myself.
Yeah.
I cannot, and I can only work within the parameters that we're given. So if I have a parent whose child is special needs, and the classroom that the child is in is not good for that student, and the parent doesn't feel good about it, they're going to find a place where their child can thrive.
Exactly.
And we cannot determine for a parent what that is.
Yeah, they know what's best. You would most
people,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, and that's why parental rights is so important.
Absolutely.
Whatever the parent feels is not happening for their child, they have the right to say, you know what, I want something different.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we are not tasked with telling them, no, you're wrong.
Yeah.
We're tasked with saying, we accept that.
Yeah.
And Godspeed.
Yeah. And along those lines, you always get pressure because, oh, they're spending too much money. When you do have people with special needs like that, you have two choices. They have a choice to go somewhere else.
Yep.
Or the school board can accommodate them and provide a place for them, but it's not cheap.
It's very expensive.
It's very expensive,
It's very expensive.
Let's take a break, and we'll be right back. There is no doubt we live in chaotic times. Just listen to the news, if you dare. The world is a battleground for spiritual warfare. If what you see or hear in the news frustrates you or makes you fearful, then you need something beyond the news. You need the good news. You need to hear and embrace the Word of God. We are beginning a new live program on Tuesday, December the 3rd, at 11 a.m., and it will air live every Tuesday. We call it a biblical response. It's designed to look closely at some of the hot-button issues impacting our culture. We will view them through the lens of biblical truth, the Word of God, not just exposing the meaning of today's evil events, but giving us a clear understanding of how to address them. Every Tuesday on WCNO at 11 a.m., a biblical response to the issues of the day.
Hi, this is Karen Hubbard, inviting you to join me every Friday at 11 a.m. for Hidden Places, where you'll hear exciting testimonies, amazing stories, and casual conversations with believers just like you, here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Getting better on those drums.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, maybe I should take those when I go out of town today. Anyway, welcome back to the front line, and today we're interviewing Amy Pritchett, who is a Christian person that God called into politics. She's serving on the Martin County School Board. We've already heard some great sharing, Amy. This is God's heart through you. And I love that. I just love that. Thank you for being willing to be that kind of person. And we discussed, because Ann knows you better than I do, but talking about how you got involved in this, you know, how you got involved in running for this
position. Yeah, what made
this
you want to run for school?
What was going
board?
On there?
Well, it's pretty simple. COVID. I started going to Board of County Commission meetings in early 2020. And suddenly they masked us, basically. Children were masked. Residents were told that you couldn't go into spaces unless you were wearing a mask. And at first, I said, I'll run for a Board of County Commission. But he had other plans for me.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
He had other plans for me. I just kept hearing the children, the children, the children, the children. I started going to school board meetings. Mm-hmm. And they're all up there on the dais wearing masks. Mm-hmm. And we're told you can't come into the building without a mask, but you could if you had a religious or medical reason. And I just said I don't believe in masks. And mm-hmm. I never had to wear one.
Okay.
And there were other people as well who didn't wear them. And we started speaking in front of the board. And I'm giving grace here because some of the school board members that are still sitting there were in the same situation that's what came down from the government, that mm-hmm. you had to be masked, that the mm-hmm. kids had to be masked. And then the kids went remote.
Yeah.
Yep.
Kids were
yep.
home.
Yep.
Yeah.
Kids were home and parents were watching. Mm-hmm. And parents were freaking out. Number one, the isolation. Number mm-hmm. two, the curriculum.
Yeah.
Number three, mm-hmm. the teachers. Mm-hmm. Some were amazing, mm-hmm. but some were not.
Yeah.
You know, they weren't invested, and it was like every day was not a school day. Mm-hmm. If that's the, I'm going to put it kindly, and I'll give some grace here. Kids were looking at screens all day, and I said to myself, this can never happen again. Mm. Not yep. again. Yep. This is just insane. And I just started saying to myself, it's time. It's time to step out. It really is time to step out. And I was afraid. I was so afraid because I was new.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When did you move from New Jersey?
So I moved. We bought our house in 2016.
Okay.
But at the end of 2017, we became primary residents in Florida okay. because we wanted to vote for Ron DeSantis.
Hey, mm,
okay, all right.
Thank you.
Not Andrew Cuomo.
Yeah.
I'll leave it at that.
There you go.
So I didn't really step into the political scene until COVID. Mm. And COVID had to happen.
Mm-hmm. For these things to be revealed.
For these things to be revealed.
Yep. Yeah.
Similar to, as I was saying to you before, Ed, Trump had to go through what he went through to get back here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
You know, you had to be taken down, down, down to be brought back up. And for me, I felt that there was a core of people that felt like I did that never wanted to see this happen again. And it was happening all over the country.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In New York, people were literally shuttered in place.
Yeah.
I could walk down my sidewalk, but I can tell you many, many days walking my dog, people who saw me that had masks on would jump to the other side of the street.
That happened to me in Chicago,
because I didn't
too.
Have a mask on.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought to myself, this is not a way to live.
No. Mm-hmm. No.
This is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
You wear it so you can protect me. I wear it so I can protect you. And I'm thinking to myself, when was it put upon me that I had to do all these things for other people?
Mm-hmm.
I'm a good, kind person, but I'm not infecting anyone.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just breathing.
Yeah.
and that's what, you know what? It's a good kind of correlation.
Mm-hmm.
They tried to stop us from breathing.
Yeah, exactly.
In every way.
It had little to do with physiology.
It had everything to do with
control.
With control.
You got that.
And the worst thing to do to a person who is a believer of freedom and liberty.
Liberty that God gave us.
Don't
those
tell
rights.
Me I can't do this. And it truly did inspire me to step out and to run. And I ran against a nice gentleman who had just was finishing his first term, but he was a legacy in Martin County, a true legacy.
Mm-hmm.
His family had been there for over 50, 60 years.
Mm-hmm.
There was a school named after his brother. But I felt like I could do more.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I...
You worked hard, Amy. I remember going door to door.
I knocked on doors. Yep. I meet and greet. I was in people's homes. I was on the phone. But that's how you do it.
Yeah.
It was truly grassroots. Of all the candidates, I raised the least amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
But people got to know who I was.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? A lot of people didn't like me. But I'll tell you what. Some of those people said to me, at least I knew where I stood with you.
Exactly.
Mm. Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
So I felt that I created, if nothing else, you don't have to like me, but you're never going to have to worry if I'm going to tell you the truth, because I always will.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not politically correct, but I'm not nasty.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just very straightforward.
Uh-huh.
And I feel that is my strength. And I get that from him. He makes me strong.
Yeah.
Every day he makes me strong.
Amen.
And you could not do this if it were not for Christ in you.
That's absolutely
right.
Not.
That's right.
Absolutely not. There were days when I would just say, wow. And I'd get like a pat.
Yeah.
Or like a squeeze. And I'd know that I could continue
you
to
did
go
what
on.
You're supposed to do,
Amy, your testimony right this very moment. The Lord's just speaking to my heart right now about our listeners, and there's so many out there that, the whole focus of this program is to bring God people on air who are frontline ministry, which is what you're definitely frontline.
Amen.
At the same time, is to remind people, whenever God calls anyone into ministry, he's sending us to a front line. You know, there are people like the generals, right? We all have generals. We have generals up in Cocoa. That's where our home office is for this ministry. But most of us are frontline people. We're in the trenches. We're being called there.
Absolutely.
That's where the action is. And so I want our listeners to pay attention that what Amy is saying right now, from her heart, is her recognition in her spirit that she is doing what God called her to do in his power, not her own.
Mm-hmm.
It's not her wisdom. It's not her power. She's doing it. And you're out there listening, and some of you God has been calling you for a long time to be courageous in Him. You've been floating around the periphery of a mission, and you have always come back to a comfortable place.
Yep.
And God is saying, God loves you, He is persistent, but He will not change His mind. So if you're arguing to try to get Him to call you to something less, He's not going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why right now, in fact, don't tune out. Listen even more closely as Amy shares more of her life in Christ, because it's all about God. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's not about her.
Yeah.
It's about God. So I just had to,
I
had to say
add
that.
But
yeah, go ahead.
And Amy, how many votes did you win by for your first election?
334.
So if she sat in her head and said, oh my gosh, I'm running against this legacy person and I don't have a chance, then you're not trusting in God. Our part is to just take that step, and He will. I saw so many people come around her, support her, and He brought the people, and even though she didn't have the money, but God.
Yep.
And
we
now, what term are you in? Are you in your...
I'm starting my third year of my first term.
Third, okay. So it's 4 years?
It's a four-year term.
Got it. Okay.
2026 will be... We're term limited. In 2022, the legislation in Florida term limited school board members. You could only run two terms.
Okay.
But...
Is that two consecutive and then you can take a break and do it again?
Or I don't believe so. And that is not anything I'm thinking about.
Okay. You could be around a while, Amy.
But the current board members that were on the board when I won, they were grandfathered. So
they could stay in.
So I'll give you an example. The two people that ran in 2024, they can run one more time, even though one of them has been on the board for a pretty good while, 12 years, I believe.
Yeah, oh, wow.
So that...
Someone make it a career.
That board member can run, won this one, and can run again in 2028.
Okay.
So I really do feel that I have a mission to accomplish, and I feel very strongly that the people that I work with, I do want to say a disclaimer, everything I'm saying is me. I'm not speaking I'm not speaking on behalf of the Martin County School Board. I'm speaking for myself.
Mm-hmm.
But I do work with people who are like-minded in especially in the arena of how we should educate our children.
Mm-hmm.
And they're also directed that education and kids come first. So I feel very blessed, because lots of school boards don't have that niceness about it.
Yeah.
You've got
that code.
Yeah.
The code.
A lot of the school board members that I meet in other districts are in the minority. The believers are in the minority on the board.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, there's this sentiment that permeates, especially for me, because I'm close to it in Martin County. The people that don't like it that you're a believer, it's very amusing to me, because my goal is kids. My goal is to do what's right by kids. And my beliefs, although they're strong and they're surrounding, God wants us to take care of our kids, and nobody should be upset about that.
That's why it's amusing. It doesn't make any sense.
It makes no sense.
Proverbs 22. The way they should go.
Yes.
Yeah. Amen.
Yes.
Yes. But we're almost ready to take a break. So my thought when we get back, I'd like to talk about what you're seeing, what positive changes you're seeing, in Martin County, in terms of policy, attitudes toward policy, but also because you have a perspective on the national view, is to kind of move and talk about what you're seeing positive happening at the national level. Let's go ahead and take that break.
Revival's in the air. The kingdom of God is here.
This is Luann Linnegan, the host of Kingdom Recovery. I invite you to join me every Friday at 5 p.m. right here on WCNO 89.9 FM. Kingdom Recovery is a live, cutting-edge program where I will be talking about God's saving, healing, and delivering power. Don't miss it. Revival's in the air.
Welcome back. That was a quick break.
Yeah.
Yeah, some breaks are quick and others are not. It's just welcome to life on planet Earth.
To follow, I know you want to move on to another topic, but to follow up on what Amy was talking about and the reason she jumped into it, Edward Everett Hale was an Anglican minister, and he made a statement. He said, "I'm only one, but I am one. I can't do everything, but I can do something.
Amen.
I will not fail to do that which I can do." You're embodying that quote.
I thank you for that.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
But that resonates with me. It totally resonates with me.
One person can do something.
One person can do something.
Yes.
Amen.
Martin Luther King today, right?
Amen.
Yep.
Martin Luther
That's
King
right.
Day. He stepped out.
But before we go further into, I want to make sure people know you can call in if you'd like. 772-221-1100. That's 772-221-1100. And if you missed this, you're driving, but you're getting ready to pull off so you can call. It's, again, 772-221-1100. Or if you got a smartphone, which most people do, you can tell Siri or Alexa, whoever you're talking to, call WCNO 89.9 FM, and it'll do it for you. We were talking about your role on the school board in Martin County and kind of talking about what you're seeing, what good things you're seeing, what changes are being affected that you perceive, you know, God is involved in that, because God is involved in government and in the things of government.
Absolutely.
And through those, through yourself, your efforts and witness, and those that are working with you. And then leap forward into talking about what you're seeing nationally that's good changes.
Sure. So we instituted a policy in August, the new school year, the 24-25 school year, no cell phones. It's been incredibly effective.
So they can't have them in the classroom at all?
You cannot have the phone in the classroom. It stays in your backpack.
Good.
It must be turned off, and you cannot bring it out during classroom instruction at all. The teachers are seeing success.
Wow.
The parents are seeing.
Good.
Yep.
So we have a four-pronger. It's A, B, C, V. A is, oh gosh. Let me take it. I apologize.
Attention?
No.
Oh.
So it's attendance.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Behavior, cell phones, and vaping.
Ah, okay.
Oh.
The removing of the cell phones takes away the bullying and harassing behavior, because most of that behavior is using your cell phone to get some child in a gotcha moment and post it all over on Snapchat, on TikTok, wherever.
Yeah.
The vaping is a byproduct of boredom and wanting to fit in, etc. So all of these components together have led to better attendance, better behavior, and less kids are engaging in the classroom.
Because they're not on their screens.
They're talking to their classmates instead of looking at their screen. At lunchtime, they're not allowed to have their phones out either.
Yep.
In the school.
Mm-hmm.
If you're off campus, we don't have a lot to say about that.
Right.
But when you're on campus, you cannot have your phone out. So kids are talking to each other at lunchtime instead of worrying about
a novel concept.
Worrying about their likes on Facebook and Instagram.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's led to a whole nother level of engagement.
Yeah. Wow. Is this a policy at other school districts? You would think this is
there are other school districts policy. That do it.
I saw a report on TV. I'm thinking it was Palm Beach County.
It was Palm Beach County.
Yeah. Oh, and they have, good. They have a little pouches that they have to put their cell phones into and close them up, and they can keep them there, but they're in the pouches. They can't access them, and they're turned off. Just because of, I guess, the issue of, well, what if you lose my cell phone? Right. Are you do that?
Yes, there was concern that we would be held for damages and things of that nature, but nothing like that has occurred.
The thing I saw about it, though, was in the report I saw, even some of the students were saying how much it helped them. Mm-hmm. They loved the fact that this was, she said, this has freed me up to pay attention.
Yeah.
I really can pay attention
what
to what's
going
on.
My grades are improving.
Grades are improving,
And kids are meeting their classmates. I mean, a lot of kids who are what I would consider shy are now
opening up
because everyone's on the same playing field. No one has a phone as opposed to you have one, you don't. You have one, I don't. So that translates in my mind to a much better educational environment. Better behavior, and the things that kids were doing to get attention are no longer necessary. And I do believe the cell phone has a lot to do with trying to get attention.
Amen.
Absolutely.
The one thing you mentioned that that because they are not they can't use their cells during the day, they're actually talking to their fellow student, and that made me think. You know, that for the longest time I've heard one of the benefits that people want to see happening in public education is socialization. Mm-hmm. That these kids, which was also when homeschooling began to emerge as a viable alternative, if you will, and more kids were being homeschooled, that there was that concern about homeschooling that socialization wouldn't be occurring, at least to the degree they thought would be valuable, but which is I think that's being been addressed, but the truth is, to my way of thinking, that in the very early days when homeschooling was becoming a more and more of a thing because of their parental reaction to the political correctness, if you will, that school boards were embracing, that in fact the dependence on cell phones by the students
became larger,
and it got in the way of true socialization.
Absolutely. And I'll take it a step further. Because there's more engagement, teachers are more engaged.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. That
the screen is being replaced by engagement.
Yeah.
So everyone is engaging more. And you asked about the national scene with the incoming president. He would like to bring the Department of Education's
the whole department
go back to the states. We don't need a federal government telling our schools what they should and shouldn't be doing. And I'm really excited about that because our state is doing a fine job.
Yes, they are.
The federal dollars that are being given to colleges and universities at once kids leave high school are feeding those colleges and universities a whole nother agenda. You know, we're trying to harness the curriculum and just you're there to learn. And then you're going into college and they're making you little activists.
Yes.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's true.
I've seen
and
that.
The Constitution even says the rights should be at the state level. So
correct.
We are doing and going back to how our country was founded.
It's the 10th Amendment.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. There's been a slow but insidious move on the part of government, though, to take over more and more of the state's responsibilities and get more active in our lives and more regulation. And, you know, I think we're probably near the peak of enough is enough.
Yes.
It's the insidious tentacles of socialism.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it is.
The devil is all over that. Wants more control.
Absolutely.
Speaking of being all over something, you can get on your phone and call us at 772.
Get on that phone.
221-1100. 772-221-1100. You can call in and you can ask a question, make a comment. You can ask a question of Amy or any one of us here. 772-221-1100. And we have a few minutes before the next break, so let's go back to that point, Amy.
Sure. So the state of Florida, we're very fortunate. We have a very strong governor, and he will support the president's agenda of giving more power to the states, not just in education, but in every facet, right? I mean, the federal government waves the dollars around and tells you, do what we say or you're not getting the dollars.
Exactly.
Well, why can't those dollars be spent on things that actually matter?
Amen.
Right?
Exactly.
I don't believe in my heart that if the federal government went away tomorrow, that Florida's education system would just wither on the vine. Okay? It's the cities and the counties and the states that rely solely on federal dollars to function are the ones that are going to have to wake up and say, we got to figure this out. We have to figure this out. Florida, it is truly ahead of the curve that way.
Amen.
I noticed that when I got here. Everything was running like a well-oiled machine. I mean, there were things that I didn't like, and I'm sure there's things that everyone can say they didn't like, but just going to motor vehicles, a nightmare in New York. A total nightmare. You walk into motor vehicles down here, you're out in 10 minutes.
That's right.
I could attest to that being from Chicago.
Yeah.
It was so easy in St. Lucie County, and you can make an appointment. It's not like that in Illinois.
I live in Indiantown. We've got one out there. I just walk in.
We
got
to make government work more for the people.
Yeah. Exactly.
We got 20 minutes before a new president is.
You know, you think about it. I can pay my taxes, get a license, get a registration, one-stop shopping, and spend a half an hour. In New York, that would have been, I would have to take a week off of work to accomplish all of that.
I could totally attest to that.
Yeah. And that is not an exaggeration.
Yeah.
The motor vehicles was in one place. You had to go someplace else to pay your taxes. You had to go someplace else to get insured. It just monopolized your time. And I think that's what I love about Florida, is that they're conscious of your time.
Yeah.
Time is important.
We have got a great tax collector here in Martin County, too.
Ruth Ski is amazing.
Ruth Ski is a friend of mine, and she
is
fantastic.
Supervisor of Elections.
Lori.
Going to vote, going to vote in Florida is phenomenal.
And the results come out fast.
You can go online.
We are blessed to be
in
Florida.
We are blessed to be in Florida. The free state of Florida.
Amen.
The free state of Florida.
Make America Florida.
Amen. Amen.
I want to hear, Amy, what are some of the, because the enemy, it's clear, is attacking our children. We look at all the transgender stuff, sexual orientation stuff, look at some of the material in the books. I just want to hear where you're feeling that in the schools. You know,
and before you launch into that, we're going to need to take a break.
After our break.
So, because that's got some substance to it. I don't want to interrupt you.
No problem.
So let's go ahead and take our break. We'll be back. And keep in mind, you can call in 772-221-1100.
I'm Mindy Molina, investment advisor rep, licensed insurance agent, and fiduciary. From protecting your investments to not overpaying in taxes, financial concerns make up a long list of topics, and I can't wait to cover them all. I'll have expert guests, including CPAs and estate attorneys, and bring you insight you can benefit from. Listen in to the Mindy Molina Show every Wednesday afternoon from 4 to 5 p.m. right here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Everything that happened to me, it was good. God did.
God did. Minister Ezekiel Jones of Lively Stones Ministry, along with Reverend Evangelist Hermaney. Join us on every Saturday at 7:45 a.m. on WCNO 89.9.
Do you know what happens every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO Christian Radio? News and views to edify the body of Christ. Exciting authors, pastors, teachers, folks invested in richly blessed ministries where the church meets the world. God is doing things you want to hear about. That's Wednesday Live, airing every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM.
And welcome back. And like I said before we went on the break, you can call, and we still have a little time before the actual end of this program. And you're probably not calling because you're watching the inauguration of Donald Trump or getting ready to, and that's fine too. That's all right. But if you do want to call, 772-221-1100. And you had posed a question before the break. Would you do that again?
Yeah. We know that the enemy is attacking our kids. And that's why I'm so grateful people such as yourself are on the school board and others. We have Jennifer Russell, who's also on the school board, that goes to Revive Church. But I want to know what you have been seeing at the Martin County level in the schools where you see the enemy attacking. Like, you know, do you see the transgender stuff? Do you see the sexual orientation stuff? Do you see the pornographic content in books?
So
that sort of thing.
We've reined in a lot of those things through legislation.
Okay.
The books have been a topic of conversation for the past year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
The books have been removed that are offensive to children.
But
to
that
parents.
Was a battle.
It was
you,
a battle.
I remember.
It was truly a battle. And I take the word back offensive, no. Inappropriate. The books were inappropriate. And the opposition continues to call it a ban. It's not a ban, it's a removal. In some mm-hmm. cases, it was just moving it from one level to the next.
But you could get these at the public library.
You can get them at the public library. Yeah. But many of the books that we removed were mm-hmm. removed for the pornographic content, yeah. the sexuality, etc. But there were books that were fine, mm-hmm. but not at the elementary level or not at the middle school level.
Okay.
Their topics were not appropriate for that age level.
Right.
Okay? And that's where we said, look, parent A, if you want your fourth grader to read that book, even though it's 8th through 12th level, by all means, you can get it at the public library.
Right.
But we're just not going to offer it to you at the school level.
Mm.
So that has been a battle that we won, and we won it for a number of reasons. We won it because we were persistent. We never had to, as a school board, take away a book. It was all done at the school level. It never reached us at the school level, which is the misconception that everybody has, that the school board banned books. Yeah. No. The library media specialists and the principals at the schools looked at the content and said, yes, this is not appropriate.
But who made the content?
So
you guys
exposed
that, though, right?
Parents submitted forms. They're called book reconsiderations. And they submitted it to the district, and it went through its paces.
Okay.
It goes to the school. It goes to the library media specialist. Goes to the principal. In one or two cases, it went to the district curriculum office, but at that level, it was also said, this should not be in this book. We had one book that had links to pornographic websites.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding you. At the high school.
I'm telling you.
Wow.
But to answer your question about the gender, so we have legislation also.
Mm-hmm.
Boys cannot go into girls' bathrooms.
State legislation,
State legislation.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Boys cannot play on girls' sports. State legislation.
Excellent.
In addition to that, if a child is transitioning, and we are not in any we're not in anybody's business like that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
If a parent has a student and they want to transition, the parent has to give that permission through a form. Okay? The teacher gets made aware of it. But if a teacher finds out that a student is wanting to transition without the parent's permission, they would be in violation if they did not report that.
Okay, that's what I was talking about. The parents so have to know.
The parents.
They have to report it to the parents.
Yes.
Minor yeah. children.
Because there's some right. liberal right. school districts
correct.
Feel like they can't tell, they won't
correct.
Tell the parents.
But we have it in our policy that the parent must be notified.
Right.
So we have been able to shape policy and procedure based upon the very things that you're talking about. And I'm not going to tell you it's perfect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There may be someone in there worming around that we do not know about, but I can tell you that when we do know, the procedure is followed, the parents are notified, and the parent has to give permission. I'll just give a hypothetical. Michael wants to become Mary, and she wants to be called Mary. The parent has to sign a form that directs the teacher to call the child Mary.
Okay.
That's
however,
good.
The students are not forced to do that.
Hmm. Just kind of like the Bible in school. The students can have them, but the teacher can't introduce it.
Correct.
Right.
Correct. So, and I'm very happy to tell you that we have a lot of children who are believers in the district.
Amen. Yeah.
Amen.
And
so
they are not shying away from it.
So you don't have pronoun police.
We don't have pronoun police, yeah. But we don't have issues with the pronouns either.
Okay.
Now, I'm a student in the classroom, and my fellow student mm-hmm. wants to be called a different name.
Mm-hmm.
It's up to me to decide myself
yeah.
if I want to.
That should be a choice.
I cannot mm-hmm. be told by anyone that I must.
Yeah.
Okay.
Excellent.
That's the difference. It's nuanced.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not up to the school mm-hmm. to determine what the student should or shouldn't do in that arena.
Yeah.
Along those lines, do you have any, how much of a problem do you have with the teachers themselves trying to introduce their own ideology into it?
Hmm.
There are some, okay? It's a lot less than it was.
Okay.
And we deal with it on a case-by-case
yeah,
basis.
Obviously, yeah.
There isn't, it's not rampant.
Yeah.
The majority of our teachers just love their students and love what they're doing and want to be there for them.
Mm-hmm.
But there is no problem that exists that's so badly that we have to address it
yeah.
on a larger
yeah.
scale.
Are the teachers
mm-hmm.
screened for that when they're hired?
So we can't, you know, there's labor laws and such
right,
that
right.
you can't discriminate
yeah.
on. But what we can do is to interview them rigorously.
Mm-hmm. With certain pointed questions.
Right.
Yeah.
And,
exactly.
And
that's my point.
But they have to be within the human resource guidelines.
Yeah.
That's had a tendency to weed itself out. We've had some bad hombres that have come through the district,
yeah.
and they've been
yeah.
weeded out because of
yeah.
something they did or something they said, where a kid went to somebody right. else and said, you know, this is what happened.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But on a regular basis, the majority of the people that we hire are good,
okay.
solid, qualified, dedicated, wonderful teachers.
Yeah, but that mm-hmm. interface, that's where the proverbial rubber meets the road.
Correct.
Is what that comes out of the teacher's mouth into the student's ear.
I would say that on a case-by-case basis, it's dealt with,
yep.
and it's dealt with in a professional
mm-hmm.
manner. But I don't see that as a huge issue right now.
Beautiful. That's good.
Amy, how often are the school board meetings, really quickly, because we're also
yeah.
almost ending the show.
Sure. Almost.
And then and
yeah.
try to get people to come out and participate at these school yeah. board meetings.
So for me, I would say to you, go to the district website,
okay.
martinschools.org, click on school board. It's right there. And you will see the agendas of the most current meetings. So
okay.
we meet every first and third Tuesday of the month.
Okay.
The first Tuesday is a workshop, And then the third week is the regular school board meeting. So this month, because of the holiday, we had a workshop last week, and our next regular meeting is tomorrow. But in February, it'll be the first and the third. Go to the site, martinschools.org, click on school board, click on agenda, and you can look at the items on the agenda.
Yeah.
And if something strikes your fancy, that's what brings people to our board meetings. They see something they like, they see something they don't like, and they want more information. But you can also call the school, you can call us. We're on the website too.
Your contact info, maybe you want to give that out to our listeners?
I don't want to give you my personal cell phone number.
Whatever you want to give out.
My email address is PRITCHA@martinschools.org. And once you email me and you want to have a conversation, I'm happy to exchange my number with you.
Amen.
I think that citizens need to get involved in the education school process. So that's why I think people need to know and to look over the agenda, because you could see beforehand if there's an item that you don't agree with, or you can even go to the school board to just give you compliments and praise, you know?
Right. And you know what? I don't anticipate that people are going to come on and look at something and be happy all the time.
Yeah.
If you see an item about an expenditure that you think is not worthy or ridiculous, whatever the case may be, or maybe you're looking at the personnel recommendations and you see someone on there that you're excited about because you know them and you want to say thank you, or you see someone you don't like and you say, you know what, whatever, we can't dictate what you're going to like and what you're not going to like.
And you're not going to please everybody.
No. But we had a parent real quickly. We had a parent not about a year and a half ago, she saw an item on one of our agendas about a collaboration that we were going to do with an online school, an online college. But the college was immersed in diversity, equity, and inclusion.
And the DEI.
And she brought it to the board, and we looked at it and thought, okay, because we would have been partnering with them at like school fairs and stuff. And we felt we don't want to take a position one way or the other. We don't want to. We're neutral. The public school is neutral in that. But we're not going to affirm something that we don't agree with.
Yeah, even the appearance of it.
Correct.
Can,
So did you get out of that?
Yes.
We're going to, I'm going to shift this to another focus because we're almost out of time.
Okay.
And so, In the few minutes we have, only just like 2 minutes, how, and I'm saying, listeners, you're being called to pray.
Yeah.
Right? The people of God are being called to pray. Amen. But Amy, what are some of the things in the next couple of minutes you could tell our listeners that they really need to pray for in terms of public education, not just in Florida, but think about throughout the entire United States?
So, Because of the open border policies in our country, we get a very large influx of students who don't speak English. Please pray for those children and their families, because we want to give them a quality education too. We want the parents to feel comfortable that their students are not being left. And it's a very difficult thing to deal with, because they too deserve the education. We don't have any authority to turn anybody away, so we do not. But they require a lot more resources than we have. So pray that the funds become available so that all of our children can meet the standards that, and also pray for our kids in general. And pray for our country. But I do believe we're on the right path.
Amen.
So happy Inauguration Day.
Amen.
In a minute,
amen.
We see a change of leadership at 12 p.m. is when the old president.
Amen.
And
amen.
That's right.
And I'm just so, I feel so blessed to be with all of you in the studio as this happens
well,
in a minute.
I feel
I'm
the same way. Mutual.
And yeah.
And this has been because of your being here, Amy, and how God has raised you up to be a voice in the political sphere, although, you know, I got to say, you're my perfect image of what a politician should be mm-hmm. is you're not a politician.
Amen. You don't want to be a politician.
Kind of like the incoming president.
I guess the distinction that someone made years ago, and I believe is true, is you have the politicians versus statesmen or stateswomen in your case. Very different. Statesmen, stateswomen are really dedicated to the good of the people, the good of the government, the good of wherever they are. And, you know, the average politician is merely out for themselves. Yeah. I hate to be that blunt, but I believe that's true.
I like having to differentiate them as politicians and patriots.
Amen. I get nothing out of it but the joy of knowing that I'm helping the children.
And you definitely are.
And that's the Lord in her. Amen.
Folks, we got to go. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Amy, for being on the show today.
Tune in next Monday at 11 a.m. as we take another fascinating trip to the front line.